Welcome to Ghost Biz. I'm Gary Strubel. Every week I get to chat to the finance ghost and find out what's going on the markets here in Southern Africa. Guys, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with Old Mutual. Now, you start your piece in this morning's newsletter called Ghost Bites, which is most excellent newsletter. I love it every day. By saying that for the longest time, Old Mutual has been in the shadow of Sanlam. Does that look like that's going to change anytime soon?
Hi, Gary. Hello to all of the listeners. Always lovely to do this. Old Mutual is a good place to start, so we may as well start there. And it is pretty interesting, as are so many things on the market. If you have a look over the past year or so, the Old Mutual share price, pretty similar in terms of performance to Sanlam. And what's interesting is if you then go back 5 years, that's where you see this massive deviation in performance. It's quite amazing. Sanlam up like roughly 70%, whereas Old Mutual could only manage about 14% over the same time period. So that is enormous outperformance from Sanlam. And it really all happened after about 2023. So I guess the problem here is that Sanlam has done a really good job of expanding offshore and getting exposure to some very interesting emerging markets. They've done some big transactions in Africa. They've had a shareholding or an investment in India for the longest time. And it kind of feels like Old Mutual just hasn't really gotten going. It's this quite old school business. They have now had a change in management, which I think is quite interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that actually plays out. So time will certainly tell on that one. But in the latest update from Old Mutual for the 9 months to September, you can just see how tough it is for them to actually grow. The only real highlight was gross written premiums in their insurance business. That was up 5%. But stuff like life APE sales up just 1%. The loans and advances that Old Mutual is putting out into the market, they fell by 1%. Gross flows were flat. Net client inflows were sharply negative. Net client inflows effectively were sharply negative. So in other words, it was an outflow. And that's because they had large outflows in some of their lower margin products from a significant offshore investor. So sure, it might be a lower margin product, but it's still billions of rands in outflows. It's just very difficult for Old Mutual to grow right now. And they seem to be putting quite a lot of their hope into their banking push, which kind of confuses me. Maybe I don't really see the opportunity that they do, but it doesn't strike me as obvious that South Africa desperately needs another retail bank. So yeah, will they close the gap to Sanlam? Well, I think it's going to take more than just their banking operation and push to try and make it happen. I would still wager that Sanlam will probably stay ahead for a while, but Old Mutual, with the new management in place, maybe they'll surprise us.
Let's flick now to a better story, and that's Telkom. Now, you might not know this. Well, you wouldn't know this. My first job was at Telkom. Back in the 90s, it was a tough place to work, I'll tell you. There were a lot of things going on. But it looks like there's a big upward trajectory at Telkom, and it looks like a lot of it is future-proofed in that it's data revenue. Tell us more.
Back in the 90s, Gary, giving your age away there. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I can imagine Telkom was very, very different then, although I think the funny thing is that some of the services that they were making money on in the 90s, they still have in the business today, but thankfully to a far lower extent than we've seen in years gone by, because that really is the story at Telkom. They've been on this treadmill where their legacy business has been gently dying off, or not so gently. I mean, it's amazing how it happens, right? It goes slowly, 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 and then just suddenly falls off a cliff. How many people do you know who have anything remotely like a home phone or those traditional voice services in businesses and all that kind of thing? So they've had to really push into areas like mobile, fiber, data, and they've done a good job. What's helped them is that sentiment in the telco sector has been positive overall in the past year. It doesn't matter whether you had MTN, Vodacom, or Telkom, you would have done well in any of those in the past year. And Blue Label, for that matter, obviously lots of attention on what's going on with Cell C. But just focusing on Telkom, you've got to be quite careful with interpreting the numbers, because you've got to look at their actual growth engines. And then just remember that group revenue is not going to be quite as exciting as that. So for the 6 months to September, group revenue was up 3.4%. I mean, fair enough, at least it's in the green, albeit not by much. If you look at stuff like mobile data, though, that was up 10.3%. Fiber-related data revenue growth, that was 12.3%, or so double digits, which is decent. So data overall at Telkom, nearly 60% of revenue now. It's just over 59%. And that data revenue grew 7.9%. So that's more than double what the group grew at. So it tells you how much slower the other stuff in the group actually is right now. EBITDA margins went up a bit. Adjusted group EBITDA was up 7.4%. So that is quite a lot higher than revenue growth, which is great. Net debt to EBITDA was stable. Free cash flow was stable. And the headline earnings per share up 16.4%. So solid stuff at Telkom. And I think something to definitely keep an eye on is Telkom Mobile. Their mobile subscriber base was up 26.7%. I mean, that's a pretty serious growth number.
Let's touch on one now that's it's been in the news for years now, and you mention it often, and that's Pick n Pay. It really isn't easy turning that shop around, and it looks like there's even more bad news for them with the Ackermans reducing their stake. Has something happened, or is that just part of a strategy?
Yes, Pick n Pay remains in the news all the time, not least of all because people are so interested in grocery companies and what their performance looks like. I think it's just because they're so much more relatable. We've all shopped there, and so it's easier to understand what the business does and what the issues might be that they are facing. And in this case, the issues being faced actually are one level up, and that's the Ackerman family. They had to go and raise funding in order to help recapitalize Pick n Pay as part of the turnaround. And so what they've done is they've waited for the Pick n Pay share price to actually get to a point where it makes sense for them to sell down some of that stake and actually repay the funding that they had to raise to actually recapitalize the business. So in some respects, I think you could make the argument to say, well, you know, in inverted commas, bad news for Pick n Pay, because if the Ackerman family had more, you know, more conviction around the turnaround, then maybe they would wait longer. But I think you also have to recognize that the family needs to manage its balance sheet, and they are looking at this and saying, well, if we're sitting with this debt, you know, do we really want to own the shares right now, as many shares as that? Why don't we reduce some of the risk? So I think both arguments can be made. What's happened basically is the Ackerman family's aggregate economic interest in the group is down from 26.7% to 18.2%. So basically what they did was they sold shares that equate to roughly around 8% and a bit of the group's total shares. But I think the right way to look at it is to actually look at what percentage of their stake they sold. They sold more than 30% of their shares in Pick n Pay. So it's a pretty big sell down. And yes, they still have a lot of exposure there, but that is quite a lot of money taken off the table. And I think the overall point around Pick n Pay that I would just remind listeners of is that it is a long and difficult turnaround. Management has guided that the earnings are still going to be really tough for quite a while. They're expecting losses to be stable now. When you're losing a lot of money, stability is not actually what you want to see. You want to see improvement. It's a really tough thing. And I guess the Ackerman family looked at this and said, well, we better get out of this debt now. The share price has had a decent run. And so that's what they've done. So for investors in Pick n Pay, of which I'm not one, I guess you have to ask yourself, you know, what do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's a bearish sign on the company from the family? Or are you happy with the argument that actually what they're really doing is just reducing risk?
Thanks, Ghost, as always, for your inputs. Thank you for making us Namibia's number one business podcast. You can pick up this episode and all of our previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Android, Spotify, or get along to nova.com.na. Love to hear from you as well. Thanks for listening. Ghost, we'll chat to you next week.